Welcome back, everyone. Racecast, it's race week, officially. We are heading to Japan at a very strange time of the year for, I don't know, typical racing fans. I actually don't know why we're going earlier. I don't know whether it's because they're trying to be more carbon neutral or whether it's actually because it always rains in Japan when we normally go there and they have better weather at this time of year. I don't know. I'm sure there is a real reason out there, but we are excited. Now, Matt actually doesn't know this. It's very painful for me to talk right okay. now. I played football today.
Oh yeah, I saw this. You got a goal.
I scored the winner.
Well done.
I got called up to the first team.
That's big.
Came on for 35 minutes. Scored the winner.
Were they that bad? Were they that short for players then?
They were that short for players. They're Div 1 as well. I played Div 5. So
that is a step up.
Yeah, it is a big step up. But
What level is that like? I know it's an F1 podcast, but what level would you say that's like in the footballing world? I mean,
very, very, very shit. In the grand scheme of things, I mean,
It's not like going from the conference to the Premier League, is it?
Nah, it's not that big a step. It's probably like going from League Two to the Championship.
All right, it's still a step.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fair way up, but like the gap is not as big as what you get in the higher leagues. But went up to challenge for a header, and I got elbowed in the throat.
Nasty.
Right in the Adam's apple.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was right on. I don't even know what that is, but you know when like I don't know. If you ever,
Adam's apple.
Yeah, but have you ever been hit in like the throat or something? So like instantly, I'm like. oh my god, I can't breathe.
Well, you got to remember, to be fair, I normally spent my time on the bench, so
yeah, that is true.
That type of, you know, things never used to happen to me.
So I can't say I've ever been hit in the throat before, to be honest, but first time, hopefully my last time. It feels like obviously I feel completely fine, but I feel like I've got like tonsillitis.
Yeah,
you know, like you can't swallow.
Bit of bruising, bit of swelling,
yeah.
It feels like, yeah.
Hurts for me to, like, turn my head, hurts in my throat, and hurts me to talk a little bit as well.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm talking differently. I, like, as it's coming out, I feel like I'm talking from a different part of my, like, vocal cords. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like the way I normally speak has a certain type of vibration on my throat.
Yeah.
And I'm having to speak differently. It might not sound different, but it feels different to me.
Okay.
So if I sound a little different, it's because I got elbowed in the throat.
But you scored a goal, so well done. I did.
Also, look at this, right? Sorry, for those of you that are listening, I'm just taking my sock off to show. Can you see that?
The bruise?
Yeah, like the big golf ball on my foot, right? Oh, wait, that's it.
Carl, you had a day, didn't you?
So
Happy Easter to you.
I got absolutely smashed. You can see the stud marks as well, can't you?
That's what you get in Div 1.
Not even a foul. Ref didn't even blow up. And then, because he was like getting pissed off, everyone having a go at him because he was a little bit shit.
Who, the ref?
Yeah.
Okay.
I then said something. I wasn't rude. I was like, mate, come on. Like, I was on the floor, like holding my foot. I'd taken my boot off because I was in quite a lot of pain. I was like, you know when you hear boots clatter?
Yeah.
When someone gets clattered, it has a noise, doesn't it? The two boots collide.
Yeah.
And he was just like, wasn't a foul in my opinion. All right. I was like, I could show you my ankle bleeding from where his studs have just gone into me. So, and then, because, he was getting wound up with everyone, he then threatened to send me off.
For what?
He said, his words were pretty much like, oh, I'm getting really pissed off with everyone keep saying stuff to me constantly. If you're not careful, you might just end up on the brunt of it. So I said to him, I was like, can you do that? He can't. So, yeah, a bit of a knob. But...
Oh, well, well done for scoring, though. That's good. You scored the winner.
Yeah.
Where does that move? Are they in the champ? I don't know.
I don't think they're going for a battle or anything. It's very... it was... You know, this is going to be a lovely little segue. Our game today was very much being like... any F1 driver other than Max Verstappen. We were playing for nothing other than a little bit of pride and getting the win. So, heading into Japan.
One quick question. Yeah. I know we're heading in there. What does that mean for you now? Does that mean like you say to like the Div 5 lot, look, I'm too good for you now? Like
No. Because other players got called up from my team as well.
Okay, so no, it's not like a...
Yeah, I want to stay with my boys anyway. Oh. Like, not that there's even... It's not like, oh my God, I've been called up to the first. This is it. I've made it. It's not like that at all. They were short of players. So obviously, we're all one big team.
You do a press conference when you're like, look, you know, I've been called up. Yeah. Like, it's like a...
Sat down in front of the news. No, so they were just short of men. And I had to fill...
No, fair play.
So
fair
I've
play.
Actually got a game tomorrow night for the seconds.
Whereabouts is that?
Same place, at our home ground.
Nice. I know something you might like. So a couple of people have messaged this week, keeping an eye on our tracking on our charts, where we're at. You know, last week we discussed where we are in the charts. So I thought I'd give you some of you an update. So obviously last week we were number one in
Sweden.
We have dropped.
To where?
We've actually dropped to number 32.
How?
I don't know.
How is that possible?
I don't know. However, right, breaking news, it's new. We are now number 4 in Greece.
That is mental.
Fantasy sports.
Big up you Greeks.
But
can you please try and get us to number 1?
Yeah. Number 3 in Argentina. Fantasy sports. Nice.
Has there... Famous F1 drivers that are Argentinian.
Can't think of any.
I can't think of any Argentinian drivers.
I'll Google it in a second. We're number 4 in Uganda.
Oh, nice. We've retained our spot. We've retained.
We're number 4.
Oh, well, we're number five, weren't we?
So yeah. And number 8 in Bermuda.
Bermuda. Lovely.
Yeah, lovely. So... You know, nice places. We're at number 42 in Belgium.
Random.
Yeah, it's very random. Number 37 in South Africa.
Nice.
Number 43 in the Netherlands, which surprises me, actually, because I thought they would hate us because we sometimes are not
very
nice.
As we go for Mercedes and primarily Lewis Hamilton fans,
yeah,
we are very, very, very fair to Max Verstappen. I think the only time we've ever actually called him out...
Yeah.
We've called him out over his driving against Lewis in Saudi Arabia 2021. If you're a Max fan, you can understand that. You know, you've got to take the tinted glasses off sometime. That was Formula One terrorism at its finest. And obviously, Lewis should have won that world championship, but that is not Max's fault.
Yeah, I granted, we've had a shocker here.
What?
There is a driver who is from Argentina. A big driver.
Okay.
5 times world champion. Fangio.
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking Fangio, but then I thought, is he Italian?
Yeah, no, Fangio. We're going to get some. But going back to that, number 19 in Great Britain. There we go.
Nice. Big up the Brits.
So, you know, now this can be a weekly thing and we can actually see where we are, see where we're improving.
Remember how we climb the charts is number 1, you guys listening to us, but it's number 2, giving us 5-star ratings. Anything you can do to sort of interact with the podcast on these platforms. I don't know if you can like give us a little thumbs up on some platforms. And ultimately, if you do want to support us further, just follow us on social media. We actually gain... like quite a lot of followers on social media at this point.
Yeah,
like
we've done well.
We're very consistent with content. And
although Luke's now made something which has probably put me back a bit, but
I've actually created more content over the last week than you.
Yeah, that is probably true actually.
Yeah.
Shit, it must be bad then.
Facts. Yeah. So yeah, we are well and truly on the up. But yeah.
It's F1 news.
Yeah, we are obviously now going to dive into all the F1 stuff. But like I say, 5 stars, wherever you're listening to us to, please give us 5 stars. Particularly, you know, like if you're in Uganda, for example, where we're number 4, get us to number 1. And yeah, just search Racecast on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter and you will find us. But Instagram and TikTok are our biggest platforms. Yeah. Instagram in particular is where we are most active. So if you're going to get involved anywhere, make sure it's there.
Let's start off. So there's not been much news since Australia.
No, it's been a quiet time. Really.
Yeah, but I want to touch on this because we kind of briefly touched on this before. Ollie Berman obviously had a very great.
You say his name funny.
Berman. Say it right, don't I?
Berman. Well, Berman.
Oh, Berman's a drink, isn't it?
I don't know. No, that's bourbon.
Oh.
Good God.
Right. Ollie Berman. Obviously, he raced in Saudi, had a very respectable sixth place finish. Sixth or seventh place? One of the other.
I think it was sixth.
Yeah. You know, did a great job. But since then, I think obviously he's gone back into F2. There's a lot of speculation about what's going to happen with him in 2025. But he's coming out and said, oh, look, I'd be ready for it. I'd be ready to go. I'm ready for it now. I want to get racing. I think I can do it in an F1 car.
Yeah, but he would say that.
No, of course.
He's not going to be like, well, not yet, guys.
No.
I'm not good enough for this.
Exactly. No, and I completely agree with that. But I want to ask a question. Does one race in F1 justify him being able to go, I deserve a full-time seat?
Did he say he deserves one?
Well, he said he's ready for it and he's shown that he's what he can do and he's done a good enough job to show that he can go there.
This is going to sound particularly harsh. And I don't mean to. I just mean, on the flip side, he finished sixth in the second best car.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, granted, it was his very first race. It's an incredibly intense track, physically demanding.
Yeah.
I'm still of the opinion that we put a little bit too much on these guys that come in. If he came in, finished sixth in the Sauber, then maybe I'd be looking at it a bit differently.
Yeah.
But come on, there is a performance gap in these cars where certain cars should be finishing in certain positions. And he was in a car that should have been finishing there, if not higher up.
Yeah.
That doesn't take anything away from his performance. It was really good, and I appreciate the step up is incredible. It's a lot more than me stepping up from my little Div 5 team to my Div 1 team today. But I don't think that is necessarily proof that you can do it. You know, go on and win in your own class first.
Yeah.
You know, win races in F2 because right there you're competing with people like you. You know, 20, there might even be a few more drivers in F2. 20 drivers that have all taken the same route as you, you know, growing up. They're now all in F2. You're all driving pretty similar cars. Go and win there. That's where you need to show us what you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, you've come and stepped into a Ferrari and finished sixth. Great, you know, that's a really impressive thing to do. But you're driving the second quickest car on an F1 grid.
Yeah.
You should be finishing there or thereabouts if you're a professional race car driver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't like this idea that, oh, one race, he's really shown what he can do. But he's actually not shown us what you can do in F2.
I agree with you.
It's skipping a step.
Yeah, I agree in the sense of, you know, that weekend in Saudi, he did phenomenal. You know, he to get put in the car with no real practice, you know, and just go out there and do a great job as he did, is a real testament to him. And, you know, I have no doubt he will be in F1 soon. But I do agree in a sense of, you need to, if you want to prove yourself to a level, you need to be showing week in, week out that you are basically, you know, destroying the competition in F2.
Yeah.
He needs to be proven that.
That's where he proves himself. One race in Formula One, in a Ferrari, the second quickest car on the grid. I'm sorry, that's not how you prove yourself. The only way he could have genuinely proved himself then is if he beat Leclerc.
Yeah.
Or even beat the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Because that car should be beating every other car. And I do want to stress that that's not to take away like how impressive his performance was. But did that performance warrant him or earn him the right to a seat in Formula One next season? No, absolutely not. You know, we've seen how that goes with Nyck de Vries.
Yeah.
Who had proven it in Formula E. He was a world champion.
Did you see him this week with Tsunoda racing in Formula E?
Tsunoda was racing in Formula E.
No, Tsunoda was watching the race, and it was him and Nick. He went up and met Nyck de Vries.
No, I actually didn't see that. All I will say though, right, is Ollie Bearman is currently 19th in F2 with 2 points.
That ain't great, is it?
You know, Antonelli is on 24 points. Now, granted, he obviously has missed a race.
Yep.
But yeah, I think stay in your lane. That's all I'm going to say. You know, it's a different situation to the Liam Lawson one.
All Bearman has to do now is keep his head down, really prove himself in F2, and the opportunities will come.
Yeah. Because what we need to remember is that Liam Lawson had competed in F2.
Yeah.
He did get a P3 in a championship. And he then came in for multiple races and actually proved that he was on par with his teammate.
In a very poor car.
In a very poor car. So, yeah, you know, Ollie Bearman has every chance of becoming an F1 driver, and that drive is going to help him.
Yeah,
but just one step at a time, buddy.
Talking of Tsunoda, obviously he did great in Australia, picked up some real valuable points for Racing Bull. I know we've had conversations about Tsunoda over the last couple of years about whether we think he's good enough, whether he can be consistent. And I'm really, Australia for me, and we've said as well, haven't we, that actually the first half of the race, he's normally very strong. It's the second half of the race, he seems to lose his head, cause mistakes. You saw that in Mexico last year. And even Spain last year, he just seems to drop off in the second part of the race. Australia was a bit different. He had a very solid race, and he's actually started off very strong this season. Is this a new Tsunoda? And is he the one who's leading this team? Because in theory, everyone thinks Danny Rick should be leading this team.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it? Is Tsunoda really good, or is his teammate really bad?
Well, yeah, that is.
No, I think Tsunoda is... I do think it's a combination of both. I think Tsunoda's having a strong season. I don't think Tsunoda's ever been a poor driver.
No.
I don't think he's ever shown us that he's not competent at being like a good F1 driver.
Yeah.
I think his temperament lets him down sometimes. But
I kind of like that. As an F1 fan, I think if you're a team principal, it's not something you like. But I think as an F1 fan, I like that he's got character.
I just feel like to some extent you have to... I feel like you have to earn the right to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he has. It's not like Max coming over the radio. And that's not me saying, oh, only world champions can get angry, but...
But I was going to say, you could say that about Lando Norris. What has he done to actually warrant him having that?
When have I ever said I like that about Lando?
No, you haven't. But what I'm saying is actually these type of drivers have that, don't they? They're arrogance over the over the radio.
And I would say is I think you've got to earn that arrogance.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Lando's in a much better position than Yuki Tsunoda.
But he's always had a better car than those.
He has always had a better car. But I still just think it lets him down because I think he loses his head. And then you see him do something stupid like after the Bahrain Grand Prix, the incident with Danny Rick.
Didn't see anything wrong with that.
You know, that was childish behaviour from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could have fucking crashed into him. And then he's cost the team however many hundreds of thousands in damage. It's added tension to the team. You know, it's going to create a real bad atmosphere.
Yeah.
And people looking from the outside is going to be like, they're falling to pieces. Like, we can capitalise on that because it's a mental game as well. But I think...
Tsunoda has Danny Ric in his back pocket all day long. He just needs to keep his head down. He needs to just do his own thing. He's going to beat Danny Ric week in, week out.
100%. I don't know if you watched that reel that I made about Danny Ric where it said... It was a headline that I read where they said Danny Ric retired years ago. He just didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, it was so harsh, but so funny and like actually true as well. It is like, he's just not the same driver anymore. So
yeah, I find that really sad. I find that sad in the sense of this is someone who I'm going to say idolized by a lot of fans because,
yeah,
but that's more for his personality. But so many people want to see him do well. And we haven't seen the proper Danny Ric. I mean, have we ever fully seen the best of Danny Ric consistently?
When did Max come into Red Bull? Was it 2017?
Yeah, around that.
He's not been the same since.
No. And it is sad, but for some reason, what I find...
It is sad, but the sadder part is that he kind of can't...
See it. But then, you know, what I find even worse is actually, if he doesn't turn this around now, that's his career done. He'll be a test driver somewhere, probably go to Red Bull, be a test driver, third driver, whatever. He won't get another seat in F1.
You know, the thing is I don't even think that's a bad thing. I actually think accepting it is a lot better.
Mm.
You know, he's had a great career.
Has he? I mean, he's driven for some great teams, granted.
He's driven for McLaren, one of the most iconic F1 teams ever. He's driven for Red Bull.
Renault.
In a really successful era. Renault, you know, they've had some successful times. Mm. He's won, what, 7 races? One of them being Monaco. He's had a much better F1 career than a lot of drivers.
Yeah, granted.
Will ever have. You know, he's won a race for Red Bull, multiple. He's won a race for McLaren.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, yeah, it would be nice if he could just see, I'm just not at the level I once was. And if he's just collecting the bag, I completely understand that.
Fair play to him, yeah.
You know, so secure it. You know, once you're done with racing, you know, in theory, you're never going to get an income like that again. No. Unless you're someone like, you know, Lewis Hamilton, who has all these brands, or Max Verstappen, 3-time, going to be 4-time world champion. You know, Danny Ric will have to do other ventures to make money. So, yeah, just accept it. You know, I think we do respect him a lot more because I think maybe he thinks, oh, you know, I can't stop. I've got to keep trying. But I think that's ultimately how you lose respect. Yeah. Like not being able to comprehend your own position. So, and look, I've said on here many times, like you, I really hope it works out for him.
Mm.
You know, if he was able to turn this season around and smash it, I would be absolutely over the moon for him. But it's just not looking like it's going to happen. And I feel like it's going to end in a really sad way, which is going to be even worse if he loses his seat at RB than it was at McLaren.
Yeah.
Which was ultimately bad. I mean,
I just think it's more embarrassing for him.
It is more embarrassing. And that's a lot to say when you consider that McLaren were willing to pay £20 million to get him off the books.
Yeah.
To then spend even more money, well, not even more money, but like to risk a legal battle to get Oscar Piastri in.
Yeah, you know, they were like
his younger countryman. And it would still be more embarrassing him losing the Racing Bull seat. And I don't care what anyone says, like using the word embarrassing might be harsh, but it is embarrassing.
Yeah.
It is. And my point is it never had to happen to him. If he had if he had consciously recognised that there was a big drop-off in his performance, then this would have never happened.
No, I agree. Interestingly, I was watching something the other day on Twitter, and I was reading this thread about, you know, how people have felt F1 has, you know, diminished over the years, and it was quite an interesting watch. And some were saying, oh, it went downhill when they got rid of refueling. It went downhill when they changed all the tyre compounds. It went downhill for a variety of different reasons. And then it got me to a link, which is what I sent you yesterday, about the Brazilian 2003 Grand Prix. And I watched it back and I was like, wow, this was like proper F1. These were the days where...
It was an extreme sport.
It was, you know... It was pouring down. There was puddles all over, but you put on the wets or inters and you went for it. Yeah. And I don't know if any of you have ever watched a 2003 Brazilian Grand Prix. Go and watch it. It is mental. Did you watch it?
No, I clicked and the video wouldn't work.
Oh, it is a mental Grand Prix. You had the likes of Michael Schumacher going off, David Coulthard going off, you know, Fisichella then went on to win. He got overtaken by Raikkonen. But then there was a red flag because Alonso, Mark Webber in the Jaguar crashed.
Is that when Alonso then went into his tyre?
Yeah. So then they red flagged it. And then they went, oh, because it was done on this lap, Raikkonen has won. That's when Raikkonen was in the Mercedes. Mm. No, McLaren, sorry. And Fisichella, who was in the Jordan, finished P2. And after that, it then went to a hearing the next day because they went, no, actually... Fisichella was ahead of him when he started lap 56. So then it went in and they went, oh yeah, actually Fisichella won. So when the practice of the next Grand Prix...
Why couldn't they do that for Abu Dhabi 21?
Well, you know, exactly. No, we're over it. Before the practice of the next Grand Prix, they decided to do a different trophy lift. So Raikkonen ended up giving the trophy back to Fisichella. It was just mental. But I was like, watching it back and I was like, there is certain parts of that type of F1 I miss. You know, that level of, not risk, don't get me wrong, I never want anyone to get hurt. That's not what my point is. My point is actually, F1 is actually a lot safer with things like the halo and everything now. Actually, the cars can't go out in the rain.
The halo is the greatest invention.
100%. Look at Grosjean.
In Formula One modern history. But yeah, let's be real. We've spoken about this before. Why the hell do they not race in the rain?
What's the point of having wet tyres?
And like, I'm completely with you. I don't want anyone to get hurt or stuff, but every time they step in a car, they're taking a risk.
Yeah.
Could you imagine watching a boxing match and they've just got bubble wrap on their gloves because they're not actually allowed to hurt each other? It is part of the sport. There is a risk attached every time you get in there. Are we putting them in unnecessary danger if we send them out in the rain? No. Like, it's racing.
But also,
you race in the rain.
You have tyre compounds to reflect that weather conditions.
Yeah, yeah. So if they were like, we're going to send them out in the rain on slicks. Now that
is dangerous.
That's dangerous. That's unnecessarily risking these people's lives. But we've got wet compounds. We do have the safest Formula One cars ever.
Yeah.
And... we've got, in theory, the 20 best drivers in the world driving them. Mm. So, yeah, I do believe the sport is way too safe now. And I know that's probably because of a series of accidents that have happened, but it's a dangerous sport. Mm. You know, I'll go back to that. It's like not being allowed to slide tackle in football. Everything's getting too safe, right? Because it is the same in football.
Yeah.
But we watch football now and someone gets tapped and they flop to the floor. Or someone makes a challenge, they get the ball, and the follow-through leaves something on the player, and they'll get pulled for a foul and booked for it. You think, but that's not how the game's played. Yeah. Like, yeah, they went in rough, they got the ball. Okay, yeah, they hurt the guy. Well, it's football. You're on a football field. Obviously, you're going to get hurt. That's the risk you assume stepping out there. And it's the same with racing drivers. They assume the risk when they go out there. If it's unnecessary, like, we're not racing in Antarctica. Don't stick them out with chains around their tyres. But if it's raining, we've got wet compound tyres for a reason. And the sport is definitely, I'd argue it's less extreme now, even with stuff like tyre compounds. But the tyres last forever. I'm not even sure they degrade anymore.
No. But also with the things like, you know, refueling. And I know we've discussed this last year or year before about bringing refueling. You know, and then people are like, that's ridiculous. It's really unsafe, all of this stuff. But in that race, okay, for example, Barrichello was leading. He ended up being P1, overtook. I can't remember who he overtook. And it was David Coulthard. He was leading the race. He was going to be the first Brazilian to win since Senna. Like, it was all teed up for him. He ran out of fuel on the track.
Yeah.
Like, it made the sport so... You didn't know what was happening. We're now in a position where actually...
From the word go, or lights out and away we go,
yeah,
you know what's going to happen. Pretty much, you could call it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
They're going to do one pit stop. They're probably going to go and start on mediums, get to probably around this lap, then go on to hards for the round, yeah. And that's it. You know, and I don't remember, like I say, I just sometimes think, when you look back at some of that, the races, it was so unpredictable. Like, you turned on and it was so unpredictable. Like, okay, well, actually, are they going to go lighter fuel to maybe get a bigger gap? But actually, is that going to be enough?
And how am I going to... That was also the cool thing, is because you actually had no idea really what was going on, because you had no idea how much they had fueled or how much he had fueled.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh my God, you know, Lewis Hamilton, he's so much quicker than Fernando Alonso. And then maybe later on it would be like, oh, actually, he's coming early. So he was under fueled. So his car was lighter. And it was stuff like that where now you just don't get any of it. And it's like the tyres last for so long. Yeah, when was the last time we had a two-stop race?
Well, the issue is, you know, Pirelli go, oh, it's going to last this long. But actually, these tyres last a hell of a lot longer. What race was it in Saudi, was it, when the tyres were meant to last? Lando and Lewis?
Yeah.
They were meant to go until probably lap 24 or something. They were doing them until like lap 35, 36. Yeah. And you're kind of like, okay, well, that's a lie then, because they're not the same.
And this is great, because I know that some idiots are going to sit, you know, because this will inevitably go up as a clip on Instagram and TikTok, and some idiot's going to be like, well, yeah, but like, it's better for the sport, you know, everything's getting better. You know, the tyres are getting better, all the engines are getting quicker. But it's like, is it actually better that the tyres are becoming more durable? Like,
I would argue,
it might be better for the environment, granted.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking as an environmentalist here. They're working towards their net zero 2030, whatever.
Which we agree with, absolutely good.
Yeah, that's great. Like, move to synthetic fuels and stuff. I think that's amazing. And obviously, they're huge in the hybrid technology. And I'm not saying, you know, recycle tyres, whatever, but come on, just...
We just missed the days of it being a bit unpredictable. Look, guys, go and watch the Brazilian Grand Prix 2003. And let me know what your thoughts are on it, because I thought it was cracking. And Luke, that also goes for you. Give it a watch and see what you think. And you tell me whether you find that more exciting than what you've seen in maybe the last 2-3 years.
I can already tell you I will. I mean, you know, I went through that phase where I was watching all those old races. And
yeah, and I love your comment. That's why I sent it to you yesterday, and you went, well, I would have been 7. And I was like, no, yeah, that's not what I meant, but I know you watched.
Matt sent me... because obviously Matt, what are you, 8 years older than me?
7, yeah.
8.
8, yeah.
88, you were born?
Yeah.
I'm 96.
Yeah.
So Matt sent me this highlight reel of that 2003 Grand Prix. And he was like, oh, do you remember this race? And I was like, no, I was 7. Like, obviously I don't.
But what I meant is, have you watched it before? That's because I know you watched some of the old ones back.
Yeah, no, I hadn't actually gone back as far as... I started from 2007.
Yeah.
Lewis's first season. But do you know what what I actually do really want to go back and watch is 05.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, that was when the Renault came into the mix. And
Fernando Alonso, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to watch that season back.
Also, 2003 was when they changed the regulations. Max Mosley, I think it was. They changed the regulations.
Wasn't he a pedo?
I don't know.
Please don't sue me if that was not true, but I swear he was a pedo.
I don't know.
If that is not true, I'm talking about a different Max Mosley.
Okay, cool. Anyway, moving on.
Was that the year when Adrian Newey created the McLaren that was so bad they had to actually switch back to like an old car?
I don't think so.
Or was that
so.
2002?
I think that must have been 2002 because Ferrari dominated 2002 and then it got so dominant that actually they changed the regulations and Ferrari didn't win the first like five races, I think it was.
Yeah, but I feel like in this season the McLaren still won races. I don't know, but...
Let us know if you do
that. That to me, I mean, I had those games on... I had F1 03.
Yeah.
Which was an absolutely unbelievable game on... It would have been PlayStation 2, I'm pretty sure I had it on. And they were so good. I mean, everything about that era is just so good. All the drivers, the way the cars looked. Every car had a well thought out livery and it wasn't, I mean, I'm sorry, you compare those cars to these cars, these are shit, aren't they?
But this is what I mean, like, you look at some of the liveries we've had over the years, the Jaguar, the green, I liked, the Jordan, the yellow, Damon Hill raced in those, all of that stuff, Fretz and all of that, the Minardis.
The Renault was so... The blue and yellow Renault.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like, that's one of my all-time favourite cars. The McLaren. I mean, I'm actually...
Obviously, which one did you just say? What car did you just say?
The McLaren.
Oh, I was going to say BMW as well.
The BMW was lovely.
Yeah.
It was that white and blue, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But the...
Montoya era.
Yeah. He was my favourite driver.
Yeah, he's class.
Because I actually really like the McLaren from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I know, like, a lot of people will remember the Lewis's McLaren, the Chrome, which is also an unbelievably looking car.
I like the black and silver, the Mick Hakkinen era. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I thought that was cool. There were the eras where they were all sponsored by, like, cigarette brands, weren't they?
Yeah.
Bring
back proper racing. Get Marlboro involved again. No, I mean, the thing is, it's not... this part of this issue is, like, nostalgia.
Yeah.
Where you always think things... You know, like, I'll speak to my nan and she'll be like, oh, it was always better when I was a kid. And I think, realistically, it probably wasn't. You lived through World War II. Like, it was probably shit. Compared to now. But for her, it was great because that was her time as a kid.
Yeah.
And you have it with everything, looking back, like, oh, it's better back in my day. I mean, so we look back and we think, but realistically, there wasn't an era of that time where it was actually really bad, which luckily, you know, I was too young. I didn't really know. I mean, obviously, everyone knew who Michael Schumacher was, but I'm sure fans in that era that weren't Schumacher fans felt like how we feel today.
Yeah.
But what I do feel is not nostalgia in history is that the sport was generally in a much better place there with...
Yeah.
Much better cars, much smaller cars as well, agile cars. They sounded like F1 cars. They were racing iconic tracks all the time. It wasn't constant... All this money being pumped into these ridiculous street circuits. And I don't know if you've actually seen... Did you see the news that came out today?
No.
I think it was today about COTA.
I know they spoke about that a few weeks back.
Yeah, so documents have apparently been leaked that suggest leaked files. No, wait, this can't be true. It's fucking April Fool's, isn't it? Fuck. It's April. It's the 1st of April today, and I've been absolutely had. It's only just clear. I'm going to read the tweet anyway. Fuck you. Fuck this guy. Leaked files confirm Liberty Media is working on replacing COTA with a New York street circuit beyond 2026. I read that and I was like, for fuck's sake. Why? I was like, COTA's quite a cool track. You know, it's one of the more decent recent tracks in the grand scheme of things. So I was like, right. And then it was like, Spa will be replaced with the upcoming circuit in Saudi Arabia, you know, the new one they're building.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I was seething at this point. I was like, no way. Then, and Silverstone with a London street circuit. I can't believe I didn't realise at that point. With a London street circuit in 2024. So, yeah, it's not true, luckily. But that would be worst case scenario. But this is generally, this is genuinely the way I think the sport is going.
Yeah.
Over the long to mid-term duration. Because we've seen that transition over the last, you know, the last 10 years sort of moving into this. And that's why I say, like, I really don't want us to lose the sort of, like, heart of Formula One. Like, we've already lost small cars. We've lost things like refueling. We've lost a lot of iconic tracks that we don't race at anymore. We've lost the engine sounds. You know, I went to Silverstone last year for the first time. And you don't have to hold your ears or anything.
No,
honestly, like, the Porsches that were racing before were louder. So the F2 cars are louder. So, yeah, when we watch those things back, yeah, we miss it.
I want to play a bit of a game with you quickly.
I like them.
So just touching on, you know, it's a bit of, you know, we're looking back, you know, history. You said 2007 is the year that you mainly focused on recently, or, you know.
Well, that was what I watched from then onwards.
So I want to test you.
Fuck.
What are the teams that were in 2007? So name the teams, and if you can guess the drivers, I'll give you a point. I'll give you a point for the driver and for the team.
God, this is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
2007. Okay, well, obviously Ferrari.
Yep.
We had Kimi Raikkonen.
Yep.
Actually, don't
play at home as well.
Don't know who his teammate was. Was it Massa?
It was Massa. Yeah.
Then McLaren.
Yep.
We had Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso.
Yep.
Red Bull. We had, I think Coulthard was in the Red Bull.
He was.
Along with Webber.
Yep.
Then we had Honda.
Yep.
Jenson Button.
Yep.
I don't know who his teammate was. We had Toyota.
So do you want me to tell you who the other teammate was?
Yeah.
Barrichello.
Ah, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Because then obviously they were at Braun.
Yeah.
So
you said Toyota. Actually, it was Panasonic Toyota.
Yeah,
racing.
It was Panasonic Toyota. I like the look of that car.
Oh, beautiful.
White and red.
White. Yeah. Yeah. My favourite ever car, though, the Sauber. Do you remember with the blue, the yellow?
No.
I'll get it up in a minute for you. 2002 it was.
No, that's getting very early. I was six.
Yep.
Toyota.
Yep.
Takumi Sato.
Nope.
Bug. Kobayashi.
No.
Bug. He did race for Toyota.
He was a test driver.
I actually wouldn't be able to tell you who.
Ralf Schumacher.
Oh, fuck.
And this one, you'll kick yourself. Jarno Trulli.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So how many teams are you missing? One.
Well, there was Toro Rosso.
Two. Three. Yep.
I'm pretty sure Seb was racing for them then.
He was from round 11. I don't know. I don't remember these two.
What teams?
These two drivers for Toro Rosso.
Who are they?
Scott Speed.
We can't have been that quick.
He got replaced. And Fitanio Luizzi. I remember his name, yeah.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Renault.
Yep.
So I imagine Fisichella was racing for them.
Good old Fisichella, yeah.
I have no idea who his teammate was.
Heikki Kovalainen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
How many teams have I got there?
So you've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams. So you've got one. Oh, God, there's more. 1, 2, 3, 4 teams left.
Force India?
Nope.
Do you know what I'm desperately trying to think back to?
So let me... Shall I tell you the teams and you can...
No, but this is how I'm trying to remember them because I can't remember shit from the F1 I was watching.
Yep.
I'm trying to think back to F1 2006 that I used to play on my PSP all the time. But obviously that's still a season earlier.
It is, yeah.
And I'm trying to go through all the cars. Because if you did a career mode, you would start with a shitter.
Yep.
So I'm trying to think, who the hell are those shit teams? And I know you're going to...
Well, this one really isn't a shit team, but you...
Super Aguri?
Oh, yeah. Super Aguri, yeah.
I have no idea who is driving for them.
Anthony Davidson.
Fuck, was he in it then?
He was, yeah. And Takuma Sato.
Oh, I knew he was in the sport.
Yeah. Okay, so let's work our way up. So Etihad, Alder, Cypher F1 team?
They never existed.
Mm.
No.
And it was Adrian Sutil.
Okay, I remember him.
Yep. Christian Albers, Marcus Winhook, and Sakum Yamamoto. Okay, I never heard of those team. So you got two left.
Give me a clue. Is there like a clue that you can give me for one of them that
AT&T and then a team?
How does that help me if I don't know who? Give me a driver that has raced for them once.
Doesn't have to be that Alexander Wurz.
I have no idea.
AT&T Williams.
Oh, obviously Williams were in there, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to give you Nico Rosberg, because he was... Shit, I've just told you the other driver.
Nico Rosberg?
Yeah, well done. Okay, the final team. One of your favourite drivers race for them.
So now I've got to think, where did Montoya go?
I'm just going to tell you, because it's going to be a BMW Sauber F1 team.
I knew, but BMW left the sport. Yeah. So I was...
So who are the two drivers for them?
2007, I don't think Montoya was in the sport.
No.
De La Rosa?
Nope. De La Rosa at the time was a test driver for McLaren.
Oh. I was just throwing a name out there, to be honest. I have no idea who the drivers were.
Nick Heidfeld.
You know what? I actually fucking did know that. I swear to God, I knew that.
And Robert Kubica.
I knew that as well.
Let me show you my favourite car. Oh, shit. 2000 and...
If I want to know how many people got in that, and be honest, DM us.
Look at that bad boy.
Oh, yeah, that is a nice car.
Yeah.
That is a nice car. It's when they used to care. You know, they used to make cars that... They wanted them to look good. Do you know what I mean?
It's all weight saving now. Anyway, if you enjoyed that, let us know how many you got. And if you'd like, next week, I'll do 2008.
Well, I'm going to have to watch a lot of...
So, shall we talk about Japan this weekend?
Yes.
So, FP1 on Friday is 3:30 till 4:30. FP2 is 7 till 8. FP3 on Saturday is 3:30 till 4:30. And qualifying is 7 till 8. Nice little time, that. I like that.
7 to 8 is amazing.
Yeah, I like that. And the race on Sunday is 6 a.m.
6 a.m. I can live with.
I can deal with that.
I think I'll probably wake up for that and watch it.
That is tolerable. That's the time I got up when I watched the Australian Grand Prix, because I just got up and I was like, oh, yeah, get on with that. So, Suzuka, when was the first Grand Prix held?
1987.
Number of laps.
It's a tricky one, this one. I feel like it's something like 58.
53. Close. Lap record and held by who?
I normally just... A safe one is always Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
I think we raced there in 2020. Okay, I'm trying to think if... I'm going to say 2019.
Spot on. And what's the lap record?
139.
130.9, sorry.
Oh.
DRS zones.
2.
1.
Literally just the pit straight?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, unless I'm missing anything there, I'm pretty sure that is right.
Yeah, that does look right. Oh, so the detection zone is in, like, the straight
leading up into
sector
2
into sector 3. And then, yeah, you have the DRS down the pit straight. Kind of mad.
Yeah. What's your top three for this weekend's Suzuka Grand Prix?
Max.
He's surely getting back to winning ways, isn't he?
Max, Perez, Leclerc.
Yeah. Okay. See, I think Max is going to come back with a vengeance. I just see it like, he's just kind of like, I'm not having two on the bounce. He'll just come back and demolish it.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
Even if he had won last race, he would have come to this one and demolished it.
Yeah, but I'd say 30-second lead by lap 15. So my top three is Max.
Ferrari getting some upgrades this weekend.
Yeah. I'm going Max, Sainz.
Well, what is this obsession with Sainz?
Look, he's got a point to prove, and he did phenomenal in Australia. Look, I'm sticking with my boy.
He did, right? But he's had so much time to prove himself.
Look, this is your predictions, okay? This is what I'm predicting. Let me have it.
You go ahead.
So, Max, Sainz, Perez. That's what I'm going for.
So, where's Leclerc in all this?
Fourth.
It's interesting. I mean, I disagree.
That's all right.
Hopefully Lewis wins, though.
Well, that's what... I'd love to see that happen.
Are you making any changes to your fantasy?
I have made a lot of changes to my fantasy.
No fucking way have you what?
So, I'll tell you what I have, and I'll tell you for why. I did end up getting rid of Hamilton, unfortunately. I can't trust the Merc.
So, it has to be done, yeah. It's not Lewis's fault.
No, I've brought in Perez, and I've brought in Charles Leclerc, which I had already. I have got Alex Albon, Yuki Tsunoda, and Nico Hülkenberg.
Oh, you know what? That sounds annoyingly good.
And I changed the racing ball as a team. So I've got Ferrari, but I've now got Aston Martin.
Why has Max Verstappen gone down in value?
Has he?
Yeah, 0.7 mil.
Well, Leclerc's gone up 1 million. So yeah, I went for Aston Martin and Ferrari. I don't know if that's a mistake or I should have just stuck with Racing Ball. But I feel like I will potentially get more points from Alonso.
They'll get you more points consistently, yeah. I'm sure.
So that's my team. You make any changes?
Well, so I've got Max.
Yep.
Hülkenberg, Sergio, Alex, and Valtteri.
Okay, yeah.
Perez is the one that worries me a little bit.
But you just put in P2 this weekend.
Yeah, because he's in a Red Bull. It's like, you should be finishing there.
Yeah, he should be, but this is Sergio Perez.
Yeah. The problem that bugs me about this is like the rest of my team is so shit.
Mm.
It's like,
I've got... So you're betting everything on Red Bull just getting you points.
Yeah.
Who are your teams?
Ferrari and Haas.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Haas, I think, are going to be difficult because you're literally just relying on basically Hülkenberg to get you points. I know Magnussen got points in Australia.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same with any other team. Like Williams, I'm relying on Albon.
Yeah, but can you not go for someone like the Racing Bull or someone who Yuki potentially will get you points regularly? But I suppose that's the same as Williams.
That is exactly the same. Yeah. I'm just relying on one person again because Danny Rick's not going to get me points.
You never know.
So,
how much money do you have left over?
1.5 mil.
Okay.
So I'm kind of loaded, you know. I could just take that out and put it into a holiday or something, buy a house for me and Ruth.
Yeah, you could do.
Rather than spending it on a fictional driver.
Okay, but say you got rid of Haas, what options do you have?
If I did get rid of Haas, I could
Because what we've seen...
I could get Alpine, which, come on, I'm not a fucking pointless. Idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
I could get Sauber, who are just as bad, to be honest, and Williams, which, to be honest, Haas have more points than...
Yeah.
Haas have more points than Red Bull, not Red Bull, like Racing Bull, yeah. Williams, Sauber, and Alpine.
Yeah, that's not a bad show.
So,
is there anything you could do with your drivers with that 1.5, which you can actually get someone better?
So I would obviously probably get rid of Valtteri. I can get Zhou Guan Yu or Logan Sargeant or Pierre Gasly, who's got -9 points. Or he got... Wait, what? Is this... Oh, this is points from this week. Is this points from this week or is this points overall?
I don't know. Pierre Gasly got points, I think.
Well, no. Pierre Gasly got -9 points.
Cracking.
So...
Stick with Bottas.
Bottas. But he's only got 1 point. I mean, Zhou Guan Yu has 13. But I just don't think it's worth the transfer, you know? I'm willing to just...
Leave it as...
See how they do this week and then I think I'll make a change.
Yeah. See, for me, getting rid of Lewis and Piastri was a big risk for me. But that allowed me to bring in someone like Sergio Perez and it allowed me to get Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
as we've seen, more people get points from the constructors than they actually do the drivers.
Yeah, this is true. You get a lot of points from constructors.
Yeah. So I've got Ferrari there and Aston Martin, which hopefully I'll get more points from.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have ideally liked to get a Red Bull in there, but I didn't have enough money.
Yeah, and I think the Ferrari will sort you out.
But saying that, looking at... Oh, God. Where's my team? If I got rid of Ferrari, I've got 2.7. Oh, wow. Ferrari are 28.2 million. Jesus Christ. Okay, yeah, I was.
How much for Red Bull?
28.2 million. Ferrari are 20 million.
Oh, you said Ferrari.
Oh, sorry. That is mad. Yeah, no, there's no way in hell I'll be able to get them. But yeah, that is the end of the podcast. Do get in touch. Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Do get in touch. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you've watched some of the old races, also let us know as well.
Do get in touch.
What's so funny about that?
Oh, it's just like an old person thing to say.
Send
a postcard.
Do send us some correspondence. That would be great.
Drop it in our PO box. Pop it in our pigeonhole.
Yeah, I've got my tray up there, so go and put it on with my name. Yeah.
Follow us on social media. Get involved.
Racecast. We'll be back next week reviewing the Japanese Grand Prix. Hopefully. Lewis Hamilton Grand Prix win. But yeah, take it easy, and we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.